This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Nearly a week after Hurricane Ian smashed into Florida and carved a path of destruction that reached into the Carolinas, 439,000 homes are still without power this hour. Roughly 100 people have been confirmed dead from the storm since Ian began striking land on September 27th. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
Our Division of Emergency Management is continuing to bring large quantities of water, food, and other sustenance into the area to help everybody get by. You know, it was at 3 a.m. right after the storm had passed that Charlotte, Lee, and Sarasota already had the bulk commodities there waiting for them.
North Korea on Tuesday fired a ballistic missile over Japan, forcing the Japanese to issue evacuation notices and suspend trains during the flight of the nuclear-capable weapon. It was the first missile in 5 years hurled over Japan that could reach the United States territory of Guam and possibly beyond. The White House condemned the launch. Retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer on Newsmax claimed the Biden administration's downgrading of U.S. military forces is an extreme threat in and of itself.
So in this case, we're doing the opposite. Instead of being prepared and showing strength to deter a potential conflict, as we did in the 80s, we're actually showing more weakness by the fact we're expanding all these things without a clear plan or a rapid replenishment process, as it was just reported. It's going to take years in some cases.
There was a clash between inmates armed with guns and knives inside the Latacunga prison in central Ecuador on Monday. Authorities are reporting the violence left at least 15 people dead and 20 injured. Officials attributed the fighting to drug trafficking groups, which have turned the nation's prisons into the scene of repeated massacres as the groups fight for power and drug distribution controls. USA Radio News.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications, in a variety of formats.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
The rocket that will fly SpaceX's next astronaut mission for NASA is poised and ready for liftoff. The Crew 5 mission is scheduled to launch at noon Eastern on Wednesday from Pad 39A at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida. And the astronauts are on location and ready to go. An Idaho couple submitted a bid to build a home located near Priest Lake that the Environmental Protection Agency deemed a protected wetland under the Clean Water Act. The couple filed a petition in 2021 and asked that the justices to revisit the 2006 decision, which held that the Clean Water Act could regulate wetlands considered navigable waters. They want the court to clarify the EPA's regulatory powers granted under the act. That's one of the cases being heard by the Supreme Court as they went back to work this week. United Airlines is taking a stand at a New York airport.
United is suspending service at JFK Airport here in the Big Apple as it continues to negotiate with the Federal Aviation Administration over expanding its schedule at the airport. The air carrier told employees on Friday that their existing schedule of 4 flights a day did not allow them to remain competitive. It did portray optimism that changes will be made down the road. The suspension is scheduled to start on Sunday, October 30th. United's 100 workers based at JFK will transfer to other places in the meantime. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns in New York.
My name is Lance Pry, and we are USA Radio News.
If you're 65 or older, and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Six minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, check out BillMartinezShow.com. Well, everything you know about income inequality, poverty, and other measures of economic well-being in America is wrong. And here to talk more about it is the former Senator and Congressman Phil Gramm, talking about his new book, The Myth of American Inequality, How Government Biases Policy Debate. Senator, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, Bill. That's a pretty bold statement, but it's true.
Well, and I guess that's what compelled you to write this book, right?
Yeah, for about 20 years, I've been looking at the growing disconnect between the census measure of income upon which our measures of well-being are based and the world that we live in, especially the we live in. Mm-hmm. And I decided to go back and look at how the census puts these numbers together. I found the person who had twice been assistant commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics under two presidents. And we went back and reconstructed the census numbers. And the bottom line basically is this, Bill. The census doesn't count two-thirds of all transfer payments as income to the people who got the transfer payments. They don't count refundable tax credit. And as you know, the IRS has become the biggest welfare agency in the country. They don't count food stamps, where you get a debit card and you buy groceries, and the government recharges the debit card. They don't count Medicaid, where the government pays for health care. They don't count rent subsidies. And they also don't count taxes. So the bottom line is when you, and all this goes back to 1947 when they set up this system. But the bottom line is they're counting only 0.9 trillion of the 2.8 trillion of transfer payments, and they're not counting any taxes. So they say the top 20% of Americans make 16.7 times as much as the bottom 20%. We show that if you count all transfer payments and you count taxes, that it's actually 4-to-1 rather than 16-to-1.
Wow.
That the poverty rate is actually about 2%. And that whereas we've got people like Bernie Sanders running around screaming that growing income inequality is obscene and unsustainable, that the reality is when you count all the income and all the taxes, it's actually slightly lower today than it was in 1947. Now, I know that's difficult to believe, but it's true. And it's
why would it be difficult to believe, Senator? We've lost confidence in the government's ability to work up math anyway. I mean, you go back and you say 1947, 1948. The first question is why? Who did this? Who was responsible for jury-rigging these numbers that echoed once again in 1964, when Senator Johnson was leading the war on poverty, or President Johnson was leading the war on poverty? I got to assume they used these same numbers to kind of jury-rig this argument, did they not?
Well, see, in that, they would argue, the census was on this program, they would argue that in 1947, there weren't many payments where the government paid for something or paid you in anything other than cash equivalent. Mm-hmm. And so they started out counting only cash equivalent payments. They then started to accumulate data on all these other things. The data is made public on all these other things. But over the years, they did not go back and change their standard measure of household income and all of our other measures of well-being relative to the individual and the household are based on that one statistic. And it is not just wrong. It, over the years, has become progressively detached exactly from all semblance of reality.
So, Senator,
and we're not going to, by the way.
You say they're not going to what?
Not true. They're not going to dispute this. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, well, we'll study it, or we'll do a supplemental measure. But what I want Congress to do is to force the Census Bureau to take all the information available and calculate how much income people get, how much they pay in taxes, and then have that reflected in our statistics, because this affects public policy every
exactly
day.
Well, this is going to be a bit earth-shattering here, Senator, because though it may take Congress a while to get through the process, your book really pulls back the veil pretty quickly, and you're going to have public perception on its head over this deal now, because for decades, we've been dealing with this idea of income inequality, and of course, we've been beat over the head in the last couple of decades, especially over this issue, and now we're saying, wait a minute, you don't have your facts straight. This has got to be something that I believe needs to be resolved with some urgency, because as your book connects and resonates with everyday Americans, this is going to cause some severe issues in the body politic, won't it?
Well, listen, today President Biden is out saying, I want to dramatically increase food stamps to eliminate hunger in America. The average household in the bottom 20% of income earners got $45,400 of benefits from the federal government last year. So to be talking about the fact that people don't have enough to eat is a total misperception of what's going on.
And I guess what galls our listeners, Senator, if I might interrupt you, excuse me, is that when we hear numbers like this, $45,400 in benefit, not from the government, but from the people. It's from taxpayers.
Well, that's right.
Right?
Well,
I mean, you know, we keep using this nebulous idea of the government, like Uncle Sam and all that, but it's from people like you and me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and listen, if you count all of the transfer payments as income and take taxes into account, the bottom 60% of Americans now basically earn about the same income, even though in the bottom 20% of earners, only 36% a prime work-age person's work, whereas pretty close to 90% of prime work-age person's work in the middle income quintile. So you've got people that are struggling, both husband and wife working, trying to put groceries on the table, trying to send their children to school, and right down the street from them, you've got people that are not breaking a sweat. And yet their income, when you count the value of the benefits they get, is basically the same.
Wow. We've got to go to a quick break. We've got more from the former Senator Phil Graham. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Do you have the level of health and energy you desire? The Western world's oldest superfood supports energy, mood, elimination of cravings for junk foods or sweets, elimination of pain, detoxification, immunity, muscle building, fat loss, and even has anti-cancer properties. The oldest superfood is cold-sterilized whey protein from grass-pastured cows. Unlike heat-sterilized whey protein powder, cold-sterilized is easy to digest, and for most dairy-intolerant people, they digest it fine. Green Meadow Whey is the only cold-sterilized whey protein powder on the market. Green Meadow Whey is imbued with a life-giving energy that most people can feel in the form of improved energy and mood for 6 or more hours at a time. Unheated whey is nature's most powerful support for glutathione production, so essential to the health of every cell of your body. Let Green Meadow Whey erase your fatigue, fortify your immune system, support your detoxification, support your fat loss and lean muscle development, and lift you to new levels of health. To learn more or order, go to bestwheyprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. Praise God, 4,185 listeners have responded to the gospel message in our radio broadcast in India over the past 3 months. Christians only make up 2% of India's population, so for many listeners, our programs are the first time they're hearing about Christ. By sharing the hope of Christ in their own languages and providing literature that further explains how much God loves them, we're helping them to relate to a God who deeply cares for them on a very personal level. While we celebrate the thousands of people who have responded to the gospel through the Tide Radio broadcast, we're equally aware of how vital it is to continue our work in the region, telling people the inherent truth about Jesus and His love for them. To learn how you can pray for and encourage people in India whose lives have been eternally impacted by hearing the good news of Christ in their own language, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Amen. minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. I'm Bill Martinez, and we're talking with Phil Graham, who served 6 years in the U.S. House of Representatives, 18 years in the U.S. Senate, where he was chairman of the Banking Committee. He was the author of the Reagan budget in the House and landmark budget and banking legislation in the Senate, taught economics at Texas A&M University, and has published numerous articles and books, currently works in private equity, and is a non-resident senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He and his co-authors give us the book, The Myth of American Inequality, How Government Biases Policy Debate. Wow, Senator, what you just unveiled to our audience here is a bit earth-shattering, if I might say, and I got to imagine for the three of you, when I say three of you, Robert Eklund and John Early as well, as you were doing the research and laying this out, I mean, there had to be one light bulb moment after another regarding this topic.
Well, some of these things we suspected, but some of them were totally unexpected. It's like Mark Twain said, it's not what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know that's not so that gets you in trouble.
Exactly.
And that's the situation with American public policy today.
Wow. And as you say, here we've got these official measures of well-being, that have been misstated. And, this seems to be, in a sense, kind of an infection that is swept into this entire process when we start talking about inequality, right?
Well, I don't know how you can calculate inequality if you don't take into account what government gives people and what government takes away from people in taxes. How could that number have any meaning? I'll just give you an example. The census comes out with a number that says what income is of the bottom 20% of American earners. The Bureau of Labor Statistics comes out with how much they consume. Guess what? They consume twice as much as they earn. The second quintile consumes 10% more than it earns. The top quintile consumes only half it. Well, all of those findings are preposterous. And they're preposterous
Exactly. Because
they don't count transfer payments. And the top quintile is not saving 50%. Government is taking over 30% in taxes.
Wow.
And they're never
it's
deducted from their check.
Right. This is simple math, but meanwhile, the way it's being reported to everybody else is that here, we're dealing with income inequality. What else surprised you by your findings, Senator?
Well, we looked at a broad range of issues, Bill. We looked at the super rich. Do they pay their fair share? The top 10% of income earners in America pay a larger share of the total tax burden than the top 10% of earners in any other country on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that's important to note is that it's not fair to call them socialists anymore. I mean, liberals anymore. We're mostly talking mm-hmm. about socialists. They say all we got to do is make these rich people pay more taxes, and we can fund all these things. But the mega rich, if you took every penny of their income in this country, you couldn't fund the government for a week.
Right.
If you took every penny of income that the government doesn't already take from the top 1%, that's the top earner out of every 100 earners, you couldn't fund the government for 2 months. Government is funded by middle and upper middle income people because there are too few rich people to fund this government. And that's the whole reality that the socialists don't want people to understand. So this myth is created. And finally, how in the world are you worse off because Bill Gates is rich? He only owns 7% of his company. Who owns the other 93%? Pension funds do. You do. Mm-hmm. Your pension funds.
Yes. Right. And, you know, and this is the age-old problem, you know, even when income tax first came into being, you know, we were led to believe, I wasn't alive at that point in time, but in reading history, we're led to believe that, you know, they first started, they were going to go after that that top 1%, that same old argument. Here it is. It just never goes away.
Little did we know,
Elizabeth Warren, you know, was channeling her thoughts even back then. But, you know, they go after them, they realize, okay, this is too difficult, and they've got a band of attorneys, and they're able to avoid it. And they said, hey, well, forget about the one. We'll go after the 99. They don't have, you know, a legal counsel. And,
enough money to make it worth it in the aggregate.
Right.
But I saw something. I lived through when the Clinton tax increase came in. It was only taxing rich people. But when the final bill went into effect, it taxed the Social Security benefits of people who earned more than $28,000 a year. That's a long way from being rich.
Right, exactly.
The problem is, in the end, when government is funding massive amounts of spending, the only source of the income to get that money is upper middle income America.
Exactly.
And that's
what
people need to understand.
Yeah, because we know that when you tax corporations, guess what? That tax goes down to the consumer. You know, so it passes on down to us, so we're the ones that carry the weight. Yes, exactly.
Well, and who owns the corporation? 70% of them are owned by American pension funds, insurance companies, annuities. That's us.
Yes. Well, and the thing that's so dangerous with these, you know, these pension funds and, you know, some of these organizations like BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street is they wield so much power and influence. It's no wonder. I mean, that right now, Senator, as you know, our country is elite captured by the Chinese and other nefarious players on the planet right now that want the American dream to go away. And we're being chewed up from the inside with these organizations that I think Vanguard is something, you know, they handle some like $30 trillion of assets. That's a lot of power and a lot of influence on the Beltway that they're buying up in terms of, you know, our elected officials.
Well, let me tell you this, Bill. I'm a lot more concerned about these pension funds, these big index funds, imposing their political values on corporate America and its impact on my pension and your pension and the future of our country than I am about the Chinese.
Yes.
The idea that they're forcing companies that you've invested your life savings in to promote environmentalism, to promote all of these agendas that have nothing to do with what you want, which is you want a good retirement income, and you put your money there, and they're playing politics with your money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I deeply resent it, and we should stop it, and it's illegal.
Exactly.
The law says. Anyway, I'm getting off subject, but you.
I got the point. We've got a minute left here, Senator Graham. The final takeaway, the big takeaway that you want our audience to get from this book, The Myth of American Inequality.
The big takeaway is the American dream is alive and well. Inequality is grossly overstated, and it's declining. We need to get our facts straight because we're having debates on numbers that don't reflect reality. And you can buy this book over The Myth of American Inequality over Amazon, or you can buy it at large bookstores and hopefully soon at every bookstore.
Well, and we'll link it on our website at BillMartinezShow.com as well, Senator.
Thank you.
Senator Phil Graham, thank you so much. Great information
here.
Knowledge is power. And get ready, ladies and gentlemen. There's no excuse anymore. They've done a lot of great work on this book, and this will really pull back the veil on this whole myth of American inequality. Thank you, Senator. Take care. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Bye.
Do you love driving, but you hate your expensive car payment? Open Road Lending can reduce your current car payment by as much as $100 a month or more. Yes, it's easy to refinance your current car payment and save up to $100 a month. Could you use an extra $100 a month? Then make this call to Open Road Lending today to learn how you can lower your current car payment. It's easy, only takes a few minutes, and there's no cost or obligation to apply and get approved. You can do it all from the comfort of your home. Call today and see how much you can save.
800-511-6223. 800-511-6223. That's 800-511-6223. Call now. 800-511-6223.
Terms and conditions apply. Financing is available with approved credit. See openroadlending.com for details.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Nearly a week after Hurricane Ian smashed into Florida and carved a path of destruction, that reached the Carolinas. 439,000 homes are without power this hour in Florida. Roughly 100 people have been confirmed dead from the storm since Ian began striking land on September 27th. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
Our Division of Emergency Management is continuing to bring large quantities of water, food, and other sustenance into the area to help everybody get by.
North Korea on Tuesday fired a ballistic missile over Japan, forcing the Japanese to issue evacuation notices and suspend trains during the flight of the nuclear-capable weapon. It was the first missile in 5 years hurled over Japan that could reach U.S. territory of Guam and possibly beyond. There was a clash between inmates armed with guns and knives inside the Latacanga prison in central Ecuador on Monday. Authorities are reporting the violence left at least 15 people dead and 20 injured.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
We're back with the America. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, you want to check out BillMartinezShow.com. We're going to be talking about the largest global study that's revealing a high consumer demand for more news on religion and faith, along with roadblocks among journalists and editors. And I know that might seem a little bit of a shock for you, because you would perceive the sentiment as being other than a demand for more news on religion. Well, Brooke Zog is with us, Vice President for the Faith and Media Initiative at Radiant Foundation. Brooke, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Bill. Glad to be here.
Well, tell us about this largest global faith and media study that you conducted.
Sure. The Faith and Media Initiative launched with the goal of bringing faith and media institutions together to try to encourage a more balanced, accurate depiction of religion and faith today. And so we commissioned Harris X, a third-party expert in polls and surveys, asking them to lead a survey to understand a couple of things. What's the relationship between media and faith and religion? How do people today around the world, 18 countries, 6 languages, all the world religions, how do they want media to interact with religious issues? And can it shine a light on opportunities for change, opportunities to ensure a mutually beneficial for faith and media so that they both can do a better job of serving both readers and members?
So why did you do the study? Was it just that everybody was coming together and, kind of just as I just mentioned, there has been a lot of confusion about faith and religion and its importance in culture, no matter where you are in the world?
Great question. So of the survey that was completed, 82% of the people identified as religious, spiritual, or a person of faith. There's a large market, a lot of people who care about and believe this is important. And some of the data showed that one of the things that MediaFleet believes is that there is not an audience, not an appetite or interest, or that it's not going to get the engagement that they seek, when in fact over almost 60% said that they would be more likely to engage with media that did do a good job of covering high-quality content that's accurate and balanced and diverse around faith and religion.
You know, Brooke, that's interesting that, you know, again, the hesitation, but yet there's indication that families and people of faith, I mean, look what's happening in with movies. I mean, they're very successful, these faith-based movies, right?
Absolutely. I think a great example is The Chosen, which is very Christ and Christian focused, but that had some of the most successful crowdfunding. I think in their first season they raised something like $11 million. It's in its fourth season. And that's very much a show and entertainment particularly related to a faith and a religious group. Netflix has done some great storytelling around the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community. And I think that they're seeing great success in these small pieces in news and in entertainment, where when you reflect and tell the interesting stories of people's lived experiences in their faith, it's transformative nature. It's giving meaning to a person's life, informing how they make decisions, that they actually get a great response when it's done well and in a meaningful, balanced way.
Mm-hmm. Brooke, did it indicate that because of you know, the survey, that faith and religion is a core interest to this group? I mean, it's a big number, 82%. Is it because of the declining credibility of the mainstream media?
I think that some of the concerns that they have is that they feel like media actively ignores religion as an aspect of society and culture today. A lot of people feel from the survey, 43% felt that the way that the media covers, particularly in the news, covers religion, creates a lot of anxiety, fear, and in fact, 61%, which is a pretty large group, felt that media perpetuates faith-based stereotypes rather than protecting against them. And when that happens, you foster misunderstanding, polarization, division. And so really what we were hoping to do is understand and validate there is a need, but also why is it happening? We're not trying to villainize or demonize a particular institution, but to understand it, not only is there a need and an appetite, but how can we support media and faith-based organizations to better reflect and represent the groups that they serve, and to understand what's happening in the newsroom to hinder, what are the roadblocks and barriers that enable them to do a better job on covering. And there were some great insights there that we hope to be able to address as an initiative.
Yeah, this is quite an eye-opener, and I think for, you know, media companies to really reconsider this niche and how to approach it. You know, the other thing that I found interesting, I'm reading that 80% of the people globally feel that faith and religious groups need to provide the media with greater variety of spokespeople. So not so much a singular individual or leader, but a group of leaders that can express and report on news or things of the culture from a faith view, right?
Absolutely. So one of the things that Harris X interviewed, I think it was 35 in-depth, lengthy interviews with editors and journalists around the world, and they said one of the biggest challenges they have is newsroom economics, and that because of diminished budgets and quick turnaround cycles for news, that they are oftentimes required, they're generalists, they're not trained to be specialists, and in order, and the way that religion has become somewhat politicized, particularly in America, that they have a fear of getting it wrong. So when they are not specialists and they don't feel like they have the resources or the knowledge to cover it in a meaningful way, they simply don't, or they do it in a misrepresented way. And they expressed as well as the population that was surveyed, that it is a significantly important role for people of faith, leaders of faith institutions, leaders of faith communities, and people of faith to make themselves available to the media, to become a resource to help them get it right, to help them tell these stories in a meaningful, substantive way. So there is a tremendous opportunity and mantle, really, for people of faith and faith leaders to show up and contribute to ensure that the story they want told includes includes their voice, and that's partly their responsibility to go and do. And I think on the reverse side for the media also to look at what can they do, what workshops and trainings can we offer to facilitate and give them the confidence to cover it in a more meaningful way. And I hope that also the study overcomes a perception from media that this just isn't something that's of interest or that wouldn't get the engagement of readers. The Edelman Trust Barometer listed, I believe, faith and media institutions at the bottom in terms of what people trust. And I think a tremendous way for media to restore trust with their readers is to tell stories for the people that are reading it, that they start to see themselves. And if 82% of this global population affiliates with religion or spirituality or faith, that's a large group of people that care about this.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, absolutely. Brooke, do you think that this is going to shake the media in a way to bring them to center and to maybe re-embrace why they exist to begin with in terms of reporting instead of getting into the propaganda or the narrative realm?
I hope that it shakes up or wakes up both media and faith, and that really the goal of our initiative is to bring those two institutions together to talk and to collaborate and co-create solutions for more accurate, balanced depiction of faith. And so that's the primary goal of what we hope to achieve is to kind of this data to prove the data to speak, not for us to speak or people to speak, but for the data to say this is important and that all of us will be better and that the polarization we feel can in some way be diminished by making some of these changes.
We've got to overcome this, the impact of the cancel culture that has influenced our culture over the last decade, don't we, Brooke?
Absolutely. I think what was one of the really exciting things of not only them, the survey addressing a need in a market, but also what kind of stories they're looking for. The survey showed that people want diverse, complex stories of diverse faith groups, the nuances and the complexity that is covered. And that doesn't mean it has to be, an ominous story that's specifically about a particular faith or religion, but perhaps layering it into the topics of our time, the Ukraine war, the Great Resignation, the economy. How does faith play a part of these narratives? Because it's integral to everything in society, and I think there's tremendous opportunity there.
Well, there is, and I agree with you, and hopefully we can get beyond that that goal of sacrificing the good for perfect. We're not perfect, but I think that this study opens the door to some new consideration that I think that's going to be win-win for everybody concerned. Brooke Zog is with us. She's the Vice President for the Faith and Media Initiative at the Radiant Foundation. Brooke, how can people find out more information about this study?
Great question. The details of the study are at index.faithandmedia.com. And to find out more about the initiative at large, you can go to faithandmedia.com.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. That's 800-562-2407. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921.
800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please, don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, balance7.com.
Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez with you, and I got a real surprise for you. We've got Marty Roberts and Jimmy Wombly. These are the co-writers and directors of that exciting new Christian movie, Running the Bases. If you hadn't seen it, you've got to go out. You've got to run, okay? You don't walk. You got to run, and we'll tell you exactly where you need to go, because it was showcased on 1,100-plus theaters nationwide earlier this month, and people are still talking about it, guys. It looks like you hit a home run with this movie, if I can say that.
Oh, wow. We're very humbled by that. I'm very, very appreciative of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy, go ahead.
Yes, sir. No, I was just...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to second what Marty said. We're very humbled, and we're very much appreciative to all the people that have gone out and seen this film.
Marty, how did you and Jimmy come together on this movie?
Well, Jimmy and I go way back. We've got about 30 years of friendship. Grew up in the North Texas area, and so we have about 30 years behind us in our friendship. But just kind of birthed in a prayer closet, and I picked the phone up and said, hey, you want to do a movie? And so that's kind of where it started.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of ran from there, and Jimmy had already had it on his heart to felt like God was leading him to do a movie as well, and so it just by one phone call to another one with confirmation, and off we went.
Yeah. And Jimmy, what was brewing in your heart? I mean, because here, you know, this country right now is struggling. It is in chaos. And this is all the result, I believe, if I can humbly say this, because you have a nation that's turned its back on God. Not all the entire nation, but too much of it has. And this has given place to a lot of the chaos and unrest that we're feeling right now. Was this some of the stuff, or also, you know, you're seeing in the news Christian persecution going on? I mean, there was a coach, a celebrated case that went to the Supreme Court, where a coach was, you know, some sort of awful person because, you know, he went to the 50-yard line of a football game to thank God for, you know, for the game and his players and the opposing team players as well. Was this all part and parcel of what motivated you and what you were thinking about, why you needed to do this movie?
Well, at the time, we weren't aware of this situation with this coach. The story really came out of our own spiritual complacency. I mean, living in a large suburb, life is fast. It's coming at you really quick. And our priorities get, as Christians, our priorities are all over the place instead of where they should be. I know mine was. And we began to explore what we felt like God was telling us, to tell a story about spiritual complacency, and being able to, take this coach, this baseball coach, out of his small town where faith is still a very prevalent part of life, and drop him yes. in the middle of a culture where that has sort of gotten silenced. And I feel like several decades ago, I think society sort of said, told us as Christians, shut up and go away. And we kind of did. So what has happened is we have a society that is without that influence now. And it's up to us to reclaim that.
Marty, what Jimmy's just saying is that ultimately people of faith have been blessed to be a blessing. And if you're not taking the blessing that God has given you to bless others, then, something's off here. We're missing something along the process. And as Jimmy said, the church has been told, Christians have been told, shut up, just sit there and take it. But, it gets to the point going, wait a minute, that doesn't work, because we have a nation in chaos. We have our kids that are, they're in the midst of this chaos. I mean, this is really a heartbreak, what's happening in our culture right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, they our kids are running down hallways and running from bullets. We didn't have a society like that. And Jimmy's right. I mean, we've been very complacent. As a church, we've sat around and, they've told us, be a good little boy, be a good little girl, and go get in the corner. And when we tell you to move, move. And even during COVID, I mean, we were told you will shut your buildings down. You will not worship. You will not enter the house of worship. And that's the total opposite of what the Word of God even tells us to do. He says to assemble. And so, it's a constant thing. And you're seeing these, bigger cities, these riots, these things that are taking place. And you're watching the decay of society, right in front of your eyes. And, it's just like, we want to use this thing called God is love. And that's kind of their narrative, that their spin is God is love. God is love, but he's also a just God. He's a judging God. Mm-hmm. He's a God that loves us, and that's why he disciplines us and chastises us when we don't do what he calls us to do. And so we as a church body, I'm not talking about four walls and a steeple, I'm talking about a church body, we have to stand up. Mm-hmm. We have to begin to get out into the streets, begin to pray with those. I mean, you 10 years ago, you could walk into a restaurant, you could watch a family pray together before they ate.
Yes.
Now it's not even, now you don't see it ever. It's not there anymore, because we've allowed them to say, you're weird. You're weird if you pray. This God that you believe in doesn't exist because you can't see him. And I'm like, well, you can't see the air you breathe either, but it's still there. Just put your hand in front of your mouth.
Right, exactly. Jimmy, what Marty is pointing to is exactly, where we are right now. And there should be a lot that we have observed and what we should respond to. Case in point, with COVID, COVID really taught us a lot. I mean, God tells us, just as Marty said, to assemble. The state said, don't assemble. God says, leave the buildings open, welcome everybody. And the state said, don't. And, God gives us liberty and freedoms, and the state was taking away our liberties and freedoms. I mean, there's a clear contrast here, and things that should be celebrated, and that people like us should remind, Christians of all faiths, that, God is almighty, he is sovereign, he's still on the throne, isn't he?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I think this movie has spoken a lot. I remember sitting in a theater just yesterday evening and a gentleman had come out. Obviously, he didn't know who I was, but he had walked out, and I was sitting at the table with my son, and he came over, and he was an older gentleman, and he said, "Oh, man, did you see that movie in there?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I've seen it." And he's like, "Wow, it's a powerful movement. It's what our nation needs right now." And I was like, "Yes, our nation needs this. We need healing in our land." And even the Bible says, you know, unless we repent and turn from our wicked ways, you know, he's not going to heal our land. It's not just going to, we have to move. We can't just sit on the sideline and watch things happen. And so he made the comment. He had not been in a theater in over 20 years. He said, "But if they keep making film movies like that, I'll be back." You know, these are people that are, they're tired. They're like, they're tired of being told, you know, you keep your faith to yourself and you be quiet and you just do, you know, you do what we tell you to do and when we tell you to do it. And people are tired, you know, they're tired of the COVID. They're tired of, and I lost family members to COVID. It's a very real disease, but, you know, we had as many people take us, you know, take the data of polio. And so it's just, it's extreme to the point that our society is now telling us, be quiet, don't say anything, and whatever you do, do not share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And the thing that's frustrating about that, Marty, is that if Christians in the early days of this Democratic Republic said nothing, you wouldn't have the America that we have today. You know, America would never have existed. So the audacity of people telling people of faith to shut up and not participate, I think is quite audacious when you consider that it was Judeo-Christian principles that gave us the foundation principles that we enjoy 246 years later, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I just think that if we don't get a grasp fairly quickly on our society, I mean, it's, you know, the problem is they have all the answers, but the problem is they don't. They don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They don't have a relationship. It's a power struggle. But the problem is they don't realize the one on the throne has all the power. And they they don't understand that, you know, they're blinded. I mean, it reminds me of King Nebuchadnezzar, who went out in a field for a year and grazed. Because God brought him to a moment until he looked back up to the heavens, God did not restore his mind. And so, you know, it's a process, and this film is really about that.
So, Marty, where can people stream Running the Bases?
Well, right now, it is not on a streaming platform. It is not on DVD or Blu-ray. So you only the only way you can see this film right now is to go out into the theaters. We will probably start streaming this movie and have Blu-rays and things like that available somewhere about mid-November, hopefully sooner. Could be as late as the 1st of December. So those avenues and streams are being worked on as we speak, but they are not available quite yet. You would still have to go into the theaters to see this film.
Well, keep me up to date, Marty. As soon as that happens, I want to make sure we get the word out to everybody. Marty Roberts and Jimmy Wambly have been with us, the co-writers, directors of the movie Running the Bases. It is a home run of a movie. You're going to enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Who listens to radio at